Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with co-host Guy, episode 125.
Yes.
It's Masters Week.
Yes.
Tiger is in town.
Yes.
At Augusta, not here in town.
Salford.
I feel like suddenly the golf world has reunited and electrified, and I feel outrageously excited, as you might be able to tell.
Yes.
I can't wait for Thursday. Masters Week, for me, is one of the best weeks of the year. It really is.
Yes.
Apart from that, we're going to make a killer podcast, hopefully.
So.
We'll see.
No, I think, yeah, you're right. Obviously, it is Masters Week. And is it? The Masters is arguably the best major. There's arguments for the Open. There's arguments for the Masters. I think they're the main two, let's be honest. I'm repping Open merch today. So that you know where my allegiance is. However, I think the time of year for the Masters, certainly in England as well, it's so kind of monumental because getting a little bit warmer, a little bit sunnier. Hours moved, so we got more golf at night, and then that was a rubbish clap. You do a good clap for me.
It's gonna quite a lot of pressure now.
Go on. Boom. Well. Go on, yeah, that's not bad.
Boom.
The Masters is here.
I feel like golf courses are getting in better condition over here in the UK now. I just like so I nipped to driving range this week, and I know you did. It feels like the buzz is in the air, like the grass at driving range have been cut at the weekend.
New balls as well.
Yes. And you can just smell. You can smell spring. You can smell the Masters. You can smell the excitement.
How does the Masters smell?
Green.
It does. Yeah, that's good.
It's just greeny, grassy now. I was very fortunate to go in 2018 and hopefully going to go again soon. Not this year, obviously, that's too soon, but hopefully again, 1 year. I think it's one of those, it's like, you're right, I love the Open. Like, literally love it. Obviously, it's an amazing, amazing major. We've talked about it loads on this podcast. It's one of our favourites. And this year, obviously, being at St. Andrews, it's going to be extra, 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 extra special. I think what's going to make it even more special now, we were questioning when Tiger came back at the end of last year. Yeah, but is he actually going to play in any of the majors? Wouldn't it be great? We were dreaming about him playing in the Open. At the moment, the dream is he might be playing in the Masters.
Well, that's it. We're recording this podcast at 10 a.m. Monday. So by the time this goes out, there might be more news that he is or isn't playing. When did he say he was actually going to let people know?
11 a.m. tomorrow.
Oh, is it
US
really?
Time. Yeah.
All right,
so it'll
okay,
be like 4 o'clock in the afternoon for us, roughly.
People still might not know by now, but they may.
No. Yeah.
What's mad for Tiger, though, is years gone by, I would never imagine him playing if he didn't think he's up to full fitness because he wants to win everything he plays in. Whereas now, do you think he's got that mindset more of, well, if I can get it round, I'm happy to be here and just compete? Or do you still think he'll only want to play if he honestly believes he can win?
I think he's so superhuman. I mean, he makes me feel like
go on.
A waste of space. He really does. He makes me feel like you lazy bee, because he's just an animal, isn't he? Like, he had a car crash 13 months ago and he's now walking the golf course, like playing. There's rumors that he's whacking driver on the driving range 290 yards carry. Like, he looks like in the best shape.
He does look lean.
I've seen him ever. I just don't feel like, you've just mentioned that, I don't feel like this is just a cameo role. I
hope not.
I honestly believe, I mean, he's won 21% of the time he's played in the Masters, which
is
staggering. So I feel like this is not, he has got the game to win there. He obviously won it 2 years ago. Or is it three now?
Maybe three.
Three years ago. Like, he has got the game to win it. It's just whether his body's going to be able to withstand the practice, the grueling competition of actually walking around the golf course every single day for 4 days. Right now, before we even know he's going to make it, if he plays, do you think he's going to make the cut?
I think the only thing I would say is, you never know what Tiger's going to do, do you? Like, he literally could come out and win this. I wouldn't put it past him. But I do think this year you have got to be realistic, because surely, even if he's hitting it well, he will have lost some of that competitive edge. And that is what Tiger was. Although his skill sets, obviously on the golf course, were amazing. His putting, his iron play. But one of his biggest strengths was mental strength, and it's just his relentlessness to win. Without playing that many competitions recently, obviously, he's going to have lost some of that, surely. So I think, for me, if he makes the cut, that will be a big deal. And then from there, we can maybe look at... What do you think?
Getting excited. I'd love to see him in Sunday red.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, I'd love to see him walking around on Sunday in red, wherever he's placed in the leaderboard, obviously making the cut. But for me, it's like, how does he do it? Like, how does he keep the whole world on like the edge of the seats? In the sense that, obviously, he had a car crash 13 months ago. He came back end of last year and played that father and son event, mm-hmm. with Charlie. Like, how does he then come back and, like, tease? Because his original press conference at the end of last year was like, he doesn't know if he's going to be able to play again mm-hmm. competitively, never mind playing in majors. Like, how does he do it where he tricks us? Because, like, now he is playing and he is walking around the golf course and he does look good. And it's like...
Well, the big thing was, would he actually ever walk again? Like, he thought he might literally lose his leg after the car crash. So his first thing was kind of walk, which obviously he can now walk. Then it was going to swing a club. Then he, you know, short irons, etc. Now he's smacking driver. He's at 290. That's
madness.
I think... what almost worries me about Tiger, though... Not worries me, that's the wrong word. But what intrigues me, maybe, is a better word... Rightly so, there is so much buzz around him right now. Like, obviously, and he deserves that. And I'm one of his biggest fans. But what will happen when he does retire? Like, genuinely, like who else has this pull?
I know it does. And we've seen major tournaments without Tiger. Obviously, the last few years he had that real spell where he didn't play in majors for a long, long time. And then in last year he didn't play in any majors. There's still interest there. There is, mm-hmm. and there's still characters in there. But I don't think, there isn't anybody, and I don't know if there is ever going to be anybody, that really gets that buzz early. Like, if Tiger wasn't playing in the Masters this week, would I be as buzzing today because it's Masters week? Probably not.
No, I'd say you're a 10 out of 10 now. You'd be a nice 7.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. Masters week. But with Tiger in, it's like, oh my God, I'm like, can't wait. The only other golfer that did this, and was it last year or the year before, Bryson?
Yeah, when his distance.
When Bryson came in and it was like, oh my God, he's hitting it so much further. That's kind of fizzled a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it now. We've seen that he's not going to win every single tournament because he's hitting it 400 yards. You know what I mean? But just something different about
Tiger. Well, you are a superstar of the golfing world when your footwear makes absolute headlines.
Mental.
And I woke up this morning, I'm sure you have seen it as well, spoke about it before, the huge news, and it might sound ridiculous, but this is huge news, that Tiger Woods, at this moment in time, is not wearing Nike footwear.
So, rewind time a little bit. He's been wearing Nike since he very first turned pro, wasn't he?
Well, I actually think, I might be wrong in saying this, but he's obviously used loads of different hardware brands. So he used Cobra Driver, he's used Titleist, he's obviously used Nike, now he's used TaylorMade, there's probably a few others in there. He's used Titleist Irons.
Bridgestone Ball. Scotty Cameron Putter.
We've seen him have different stuff in the bag. But as far as, even his amateur days, I'm not sure, so someone might quote, correct us on this. I've always known him in Nike footwear.
Always. Like, I've never known him since when he first came, hit the scenes. He has always worn Nike. And right now, as he steps out onto the practice ground on Sunday yesterday, and he's doing some preparation, ready for the Masters this week. I didn't spot it at first. I just presumed it was a black pair of new, like, Tiger Woods golf shoes, really. On closer inspection, some of the journalists on site have taken some very, very close-up imagery of what appears, and I believe it has been confirmed by reliable sources, he's wearing FootJoy shoes.
Wow.
Which, again, to a lot of people listening might think, bloody hell, Rick, there's so many things going on in the world. Do we care about this? But in a weird way, in golf, like, it is a big deal. Well, it's huge.
It's a huge deal when, I think, for Nike worldwide, Tiger is one of the biggest ever athletes. You've obviously got Michael Jordan, you've got Ronaldo, and you've got Tiger. And he's been literally, since, like I said, since he turned pro, he signed a contract with Nike. And even, I'm sure when he got in the World Hall of Fame today, Phil Knight from Nike was actually there. I'm sure he was. And actually, Phil Knight, the guy who created Nike, wrote a book that's really interesting. He talks about Tiger in there, and they're very kind of close friends. Obviously, have a great relationship. So Tiger's still wearing on Nike apparel right now. I doubt it's that he's moving away from Nike. It's possibly more that this shoe he's wearing is a very kind of classic FootJoy, very kind of flat-bottomed. I imagine that there's something in that style of shoe that's helping him either walk or perform.
Yeah.
A lot of the newer Nike shoes are more like a trainer, where that doesn't quite work well for him. However, surely the engineers at Nike could have made a shoe. Yeah, in a week.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, so,
I mean, maybe they're trying to put him on the same contracts they tried to put me on.
And he's saying, no, I don't want that.
I'm not posting to sell product.
but that's the thing, though. It's a silly thing. And it's one of those things. It's a massive story right now. It's a big story right now. In 6 weeks, whatever, it's moved. But imagine if he actually does go on to win, which I would love, and he's wearing a FootJoy shoe.
Be mental, wouldn't it?
It's mad. So that's interesting. And also, when he played with his son, Charlie, again, he's not signed. He was Nike apparel, but he had Puma shoes on,
yeah, high tops.
So what's going on with Nike shoes? It's very interesting. So we'll have to watch his space and see whether Nike come up with a more classic shoe that suits Tiger.
They'll do anything they can, won't they?
Well, is it as simple as he has, you know, he's obviously gone to the golf course in the recent months trying to hit balls again, whether his current shoes weren't working for him, went into the pro shop, but actually bought some or got given some more likely, and they just worked, and that's all he's sticking to.
I think he jumped on his private jet.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big circus now following Tiger around. You've got a lot of people there. You've got the security guards, his girlfriend, I think, still girlfriend. I don't think they're married, are they?
I don't think so.
Maybe his kids were jumping on the plane. It's hard with kids. When you've got kids, like, you've got to look after them. You've got to make sure they're being fed and watered and all that good stuff. And it might have just been the fact that he had a little shoe bag on the tarmac.
Yes.
In Jupiter. And suddenly they jumped on the plane, a bit like Home Alone.
Yes.
Like a scene like Home Alone. They shut the door of the jet.
They're all fine. They're on there.
They're all there, sipping a bit of champagne. Yeah. We're off to the Masters. We're off. And then suddenly as the jet's peeling off the tarmac, Tiger looks down and suddenly realises, a Home Alone moment. Ah! his bag of Nike footwear has been left on the tarmac, and he flies into Augusta and he legs it. He's not run for 13 months.
But the speed is incredible.
He legs it down Magnolia Lane. I've seen a little meme recently of like a clip of like Forrest Gump, you know, when like he gets rid of his shackles off his legs and stuff. Forrest Gump running down.
Hat on backwards, sunglasses.
He barges into the pro shop and says, Jeffrey. Don't know why Jeffrey. Yeah, I feel like Jeffrey Knox might be in there.
Okay.
You know, the marker that does that on Saturday and Sunday. Jeff, I need some footwear.
He says, sorry, Ty, we're just booking a tea time for Colin for next week. Can I book on for 10:40 on Tuesday?
On Tuesday, we've got a very big tournament on. What do you mean? I pay quazillion pound dollars a year.
Yeah.
I want my tea time.
Tiger said they were with a shoehorn trying on the footwear.
He goes in the back. There's one off the display. Do you mind taking the one off the display?
Well, I need a size 10. We've got a 9.5 or an 11. Oh, I'll have the 9.5.
I can order them in for you. I'm sure they'll be in like in 2 weeks.
And if you want to buy a pair of socks, we'll give you 20% off. Well, obviously, I'll do that.
Obviously.
And put them on my account. I've not got the cash on me.
He's had some twos there.
Of course he has.
He's probably got a decent twos kitty.
Yes.
In the pro shop at Augusta.
He had one on 16, didn't he? He's not used that money yet.
There we go. So, long story short, with our investigative journalism, we've got to the bottom of why Tiger Woods is wearing FootJoy golf shoes.
Well, last thing on this is apparently a Nike statement. I don't know how genuine this is. You'll hear what I'm going to say. It's very, very... There's a guy called ESPN Caddy. I think you'll know him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's apparently spoke to somebody at Nike and he's got a statement. So how true it is, I don't know, but it's very kind of vanilla. It says, like golf fans around the world, we are delighted to see Tiger back on the course. He's an incredible athlete and it's phenomenal to see him returning to the game at this level. His story continues to transcend sport and inspire us all. As he continues his return, we will work with him to meet his new needs.
and we're sending a guy to the tarmac in Jupiter to pick up his bag of shoes and bring him
exactly
first class carrier to Augusta National.
Did you think when we were on the weekend, thinking about this podcast, we would talk about Tiger's shoes?
Not at all.
Here we are.
But this is what happens. I've got a really interesting question. I think it's been brought up quite a lot recently.
How do I hit the ball so far? Just speed. It's just speed and going to the gym occasionally.
What do you think? What do you think the other competitors, like there's 90 other players playing at Augusta this week, 91 in total, whether the Tiger players or doesn't. How do you think they are feeling in with like the Tiger circus?
Love it.
Because it takes the energy off them.
Yeah. Because think about it, a lot of them would have grown up loving Tiger Woods. So you'd imagine, I don't know this for a fact, but most of them obviously would admire him and respect him and want to chew his ear off and see how he plays the game, play practice rounds with him maybe. But like you said, we're talking now about Tiger, Tiger, Tiger as every other media outlet is because it gets people excited and it gets, you know, it's a talking point. Every other golf is kind of slipping under the radar. So it must be a good thing. There's going to be more eyeballs on it as well. So let's just say John Rahm, for example, wins the Masters this year and Tiger's playing, surely there'll be more eyeballs watching John Rahm than if Tiger wasn't playing. So that's only going to make John Rahm's brand bigger and better.
You know what's scary? That this, and you've hit the nail on the head right there. It takes the pressure off all the other players. Genuinely, and this is no disrespect to John Rahm, I'd almost forgot about someone like John Rahm this week.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that? And that's wrong. I tell you, I've also just forgotten about the actual current world number one, Scottie Scheffler.
Scottie Scheffler.
Who's like won three times this year. Like imagine Tiger not in the field. Would it all be about Scottie?
I don't think it'd all be. I think there's always going to be pressure on Rory.
Yeah.
Because he get that green jacket that he's very nearly had. I think you've got guys, past winners, that are the, like, you've read couples and stuff, they always get a bit of headlines because obviously they're back and just see how they get on. You've got Bryson. Did he call it a par 67 that time? Yeah. So that's always a bit of a headline. I've got my money on somebody. Not actual money, it's not better, but in my head it's money.
Well, should we have three picks each?
Oh, three. I've only really got one, but I'll take three.
Let's do three picks each.
I'm going
to write them down.
Okay. Well, I'll do mine first. I know I'll pick if I'm doing three. My actual genuine pick is your friend of mine, Victor of Hovlandshire.
Oh, nice.
I think Victor Hovland, he's obviously recently played so solidly. He's only played the Masters twice, actually. Once as an amateur, and he won low amateur. And I think last time he came like 21st or something. So not like absolutely set the world on fire.
Yeah.
But he can obviously get it round there. And he's on such good form.
I've not even downloaded the Masters app yet.
I've not yet, to be fair. He's my kind of genuine who I feel like could do very well. I'm also going to go with more of a who I'd like to do well. I'm going to go our boy Tommy.
Yeah.
I feel like when he's on, he's such a good golfer. I'm actually going to have a quick look now at how he's done it, because I could be saying that. I think he's done decent round there
before. I think he has done very well, yeah.
But I think Tommy's play, he's obviously straight off the tee. His iron play is pretty good. So very good. Yeah, so a bit of a podcast theme here. Yeah, so he's, well, to be honest with you, Tommy's best finish, actually, he's tied 17th at 2018, and he's had a tied 19th in 2020, but I still think he could do well. And I'm also going to go with, this is a tough one now. I don't want to go with I know Victor's obviously a real favourite. I don't want to go with a super, super, super favourite. I'm going to throw out, say what I'm going to go with, this is a random one, and this isn't one that's actually win it. I'm going to go again with the podcast guy. I'm going to go with Minwoo Lee. He's my outsider.
Okay. All right. So you've gone Victor Hovland, Tommy Fleetwood, Minwoo Lee.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to go, and I'm not going to think with my heart. I'm going to try and think with my head. I feel like your picks there, rightly so, have been picks.
I've got one head, two hearts.
Okay. for me, I'm gonna go with my head.
Go on.
Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
I know it's not a ridiculous shout. I'm also gonna go, even though I just forgot about him, I'm gonna go John Rahm.
So you're picking the world's top five. Yeah. Nice.
I'll go for an outsider. Outsider. Who's the best ranked left-handed golfer in the world now?
Ooh.
Let me have a look.
What's up now?
World ranking. World.
I've got another question for you as well ranking. In a minute. I've got another good question for you that's going to cause debate. And I want to hear your thoughts on it.
Right. Let me just find out who the best left-handed golfer is in the world right now. Because left-handers do incredible around.
Bubba. Phil.
Do you think? Yeah, Phil.
Mike Weir.
Phil's not in.
No, but I'm saying who've done well.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Right. Who is... I'm going to probably pick, not get someone there now. But he has not many left-handers high up in the leaderboard these days. Oh, my God.
So this is your... You can't just pick a random left-hander now if you don't. Let's pick another pick then. Who's your outsider going to be?
My outsider is going to be... I'll go outside, outside. my outsider is going to be... Ooh. Oh, this is curveball. Okay.
Go on.
Lee Westwood.
Nice.
So you've gone Victor, Tommy, Min. I've gone Justin, John, Lee.
Right. Very good. I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
And I want your honest opinion. And this might be a clip on the YouTube channel. So if you want to have your say, comment down below as always. If you're just listening in the car and you want emails when it's safe to do so and you're not driving, do so. It's podcast@rickshields.com. My question for you is, I'm looking through the entries, the invites, the people that are playing, and one name that springs out to me straight away is Sandy Lyle, okay?
Okay.
So Sandy Lyle, as many people know, is a legend within the game, and he won the Masters in 1988, so a couple of years before I was born. And he, as winning the Masters, you get a lifetime invitation to play. Yep. His recent finishes in the Masters, and I'll go just years from now kind of backwards, cut. Then 2014, he was tied 44. 2013, tied 54. And then a few years before that, cut. And then tied 20th. So his best finish in recent memory was tied 20th in 2009. And then he's basically missed the cut from the millennium, pretty much most years missed the cut. So this is real. I don't really have an opinion on it. Well, I can see both sides, but there will be an argument that people say, why are you playing when you've literally got no chance of making the cut? Other people would say he's 64 years old. He's obviously got an invitation. It's probably a great week for his family. I'm sure he'll play with whoever at the par 3 contest. It'll be a nice weekend away, or week away. He goes for the Masters dinner in his green jacket, all that stuff. But should he be in the field still? Should he still be playing? What's your honest opinion?
The thing is, what you've just highlighted there of all the things that he could be doing, he could still be doing without playing the actual tournament. Mm-hmm. He can still go there with his family. He can still go to the green jacket dinner, which obviously, from when we spoke to Sir Nick, sounds like an amazing evening. He can still play the par 3 tournament. There's lots of old legends that play the par 3 tournament. I think, has it been Jack Nicklaus this year that's actually pulled out of the par 3?
I think he has, yeah. Unless it's his granddad, the hole in one.
Yeah. So you can still do all that. Teeing it up and actually playing, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know what the criteria should be. I think it still has to be down to player choice, really. Discretion. The discretion of the player, I still think.
This is a difficult thing with golf because, again, and this is why I'm so keen to hear other people's thoughts. I've got kind of two schools of thinking. My first thought is, what other sport is in the world where you can have a young 20-year-old lad competing with a guy who's 64 in the same field? It's not going to happen in football, is it? No. Obviously, it's not going to happen in any sport, really. Maybe darts, potentially. I don't know. So the fact that Sandy Lyle can go and compete, if you want to, you know, yeah, that is really kind of unique and it's quite inspirational. But when you look at golf on a more holistic level, we're trying to make the game appeal a bit cooler and appeal to more people. So the younger people, really. Does it look great if there's somebody who's playing who's not going to make the cut? I don't know.
And is it right that he does take someone's spot, or does the field just get smaller?
I don't know, because they send out invites, don't they? Yeah. So I don't know if then, I probably should have done a bit more research. I don't know if I don't think he's necessarily taking a spot.
No, because the field is so small.
At what point should an athlete, a golfer, say, right, I've had my however many years? I don't know.
I think the conversation in the Open is much more...
Well, is it only...
prevalent, because... With the Open, they can play it to a certain year, because that actually got extended because of Tom Watson. He's playing so good. He obviously nearly won it when Stuart Sink won it in the playoff. I believe that got extended to a certain year. But then as you get into the latter ages of that year, you are literally taking a spot off another player. Because if you were to drop out, they're just going to allow another qualifier in.
Yeah.
I think the Masters is different in that capacity. I'm sure there will be a reserve list, I would imagine, but...
Well, apparently, I can't quite remember what it is for the Open. I think you get, obviously, I should have looked this before. But
so should he play or not? It's a really hard one. And I probably, looking in from the outside, I would say he probably shouldn't be playing. Mm. But it's probably very, very difficult for him to hang his actual playing ability up, his rights to play in the Masters.
Do you think it's more... It's a, probably a combination of two things. It's probably that it's an amazing week, like I said, with your family, playing that amazing golf course. Who wouldn't want to play there? I wonder if it's almost a bit deeper than that as well. It's some, like, you don't want to stop playing because it almost makes you feel like you're getting older in reality. Do you know what I mean? If he's played, if he's won it in 1998 and played every year since then, and then suddenly you don't play 34 years later, that must feel quite strange.
But you look at, like, Faldo, obviously we spoke to him. He plays. He played on yesterday. He played it with his son.
That's class.
You know, the Sunday. So Sandy Lyle could still do all this.
Yeah.
He could still go and play on the Sunday before the Masters. He could still go to the par 3 tournament and still be there and be present and walk around with your green jacket and be spotted and obviously sign some autographs and take... Well, you can't take selfies there because no one has phones. But, like, you can still feel you're there, you're part of it. But does he need to be teeing it up? Not sure.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think I would massively want to. I think once it got past a certain time and I just knew I was going to chop it round for 2 days, I don't think I'd really want to.
Another question for you. Are you in the clubhouse?
Which one?
Our clubhouse. Which one? There's only one clubhouse.
Well, I've technically listened to
every
episode.
You're in the clubhouse. Yeah. So if you're not sure what the clubhouse is and you've heard it banded around on social media, the clubhouse is this mystical place where once you've listened to every single episode of the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, you're in it.
We might set up an
NFT to celebrate pales. And it's a bit of a sense of achievement, because if you found the podcast quite late and let's say it was on episode 80, you've got to do a lot of groundwork to get in. But once you're in, it's only one a week. It's easy. Maybe a bonus clip here and there.
Sometimes it's not enough for some people.
Exactly.
One a week isn't enough.
And we've built up this amazing community of people, and the main kind of platform like where people in have dialogue is on Facebook. There's obviously the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast Facebook group. Not everybody wants to have Facebook or uses Facebook for different reasons. That's fine.
Because Mark Zuckerberg's a lizard.
Yes,
apparently.
Exactly. Did you say Mark Zuckerberg as well? Like I did that time then.
Did I just say
I think
it?
You might have done. I don't know.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, he is a lizard. I'm sorry, Mark. Mark actually listens to this occasionally. However, there actually is now, for those tweeters out there, those Twitterers, there's a new thing called communities. So if you're on Twitter, you might see it. There's like a new tab, essentially, called communities. And you have set one up, Rick.
I did.
The clubhouse.
I did.
Talk to me.
Yeah, no, I picked up my phone and suddenly there was a clubhouse thingy that some... Yeah, they've been set up.
Yeah.
No, it's like the Facebook community group, but on Twitter. It seems to be doing quite well, doesn't it?
It does. So basically, if you go onto Twitter, if you're a Twitter user, if you're not, this little section might be a bit boring, but go onto communities, there's a search bar, type in the clubhouse, all one word, and you'll find it's got the Rick Shields logo above it. There's currently 243 members, and basically it's a place you can tweet people and ask questions. But what's quite unique is the tweets kind of live within that platform. So if you've got like... followers who aren't into golf and you tweet about golf, people might not be bothered, but all your tweets sit within that kind of section. So it's quite good if you want to play golf with somebody, you've got a free tee time, you want to sell a club or whatever, I don't know. So if you want to join it. If you don't.
I'm going to shout out three members.
Oh, now? Wow.
So we've got over 200 odd members already in the Twitter community. So shout out to Scott Goodrich.
I've always liked the Scott.
From Illinois, St. Louis.
Oh, nice.
Oh, no, I don't think St. Louis is in Illinois, actually. I'm going to pick names that I can pronounce. Patrick Oakley.
Oakley, good guy, Oakers.
Doesn't say where he's from, but in his banner, he's got the Matsuyama caddy head nod from last year. Respect to the game. And then last one, a blue ticker.
Oh, we've got a blue ticker in there.
Sam Frost.
Frosty.
Bristol Rovers reporter for Bristol Live.
I've always said I like Frosty.
100%. Imagine if he wasn't from Bristol.
You know that time you and Frosty fell out?
We don't talk about that, though.
I'll tell the story.
It was Frosty.
When he had head covers on his irons, and you went, oh, get lost, Frosty. And he was like, don't call me Frosty in front of my wife. And you went, we always call you Frosty in front of your wife. He went, call us Frosto. And then you had a big fight.
Last one, Aaron Lowe.
Lowey.
So, yeah, if you want to be shouted out randomly, join the Twitter community. you might not want to.
Speaking of the podcast, though, I know while we're on the podcast, but just another little plug, and we did say we weren't going to talk about this again, but we are going to talk about it one more time, maybe two more times, is a live podcast show. So actually, we've had some intel from the people that kind of put it all together. And ticket sales have gone down quite nicely, Rick. But I think the downside was... No, we've sold a good amount, truthfully. However, when we first announced it, it was quite a long way in advance. So I just want to give it a couple more pushes because people may have heard it a couple of months ago and thought, oh, that's too far. I don't like thinking so far in the future. So if you are interested in watching this podcast live, it might be good. It might not be good.
What's the date again?
28th of May. So that is a Saturday, the 28th of May. Put it in your diary, please,
I best
Rick.
Put it in my diary.
And it is at Islington Assembly Hall, which is in London, apparently near the Angel area. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. It will be more like a 7:30 to 8 vibe. And it
run
should
for
be
an
quite,
hour or
run
so.
For an hour or so. If you want
few
tickets,
after.
A few scoops.
We can watch the football,
yeah.
All that jazz.
Yeah, so if you want to come, if you're watching this video, there'll be a link in the description. If you're listening, again, there'll be a link in the description. If you do want to get tickets, the easiest way is to go on thepodcastshowlondon.com or just Google Rick Shields Podcast Live London, something like that, and you'll find it. And it's really simple. You can get tickets on there. So we'd love to see you there. We might give it one or two more plugs towards...
We kind of thought as being a headline act, even though John Robbins called me out on this, I thought we would have sold out in 2 minutes.
Yeah, so did I.
But obviously.
Who wants to watch a podcast live? I do not know.
You guys listen and watching.
I've got another question for you, Rick.
Go for
this
it.
This time it's a Dear Rick. So it's from a guy called Jamie. I will leave his surname blank because he might not want his surname left read out. He says, today was the first medal of the season and I was really looking forward to it all week. Went up to the driving range a few times this last week and I've been striking the ball really well. So I was confident of hitting a decent score. From the second hole in, we found we were stuck behind a very slow three ball. As it was a medal, we expected it to be slower pace than maybe a Stableford would be. But it was very, very slow and this group in front were not letting us through. It got to the point we were waiting between 4 and 5 minutes. You see every shot hit into greens, etc. Eventually, my round became poor. I was irritable. And all that graft on the range all that week became pointless because my head had started to go. Do you have any tips on how to deal with this mentally? I've tried slowing it down, trying to play in patterns in between shots, etc. But ultimately, I always lose my concentration whenever I'm playing golf and it's slow play. Help, Rick, please.
I think the only thing you can do is actually try and change your practice into more play scenario. Mm. So when you're at a driving range, as you know, certainly if you go to somewhere like Trafford, it's got automatic tees, it's very easy to hit a lot of golf balls very, very, yes. very quickly.
Yes.
And you can easily get into your flow doing that. Suddenly, the bad shots don't really matter.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And you're just whacking away and you kind of get into this nice tempo, this nice flow, and suddenly things start to click. But then that doesn't transcend onto the golf course, regardless of the speed of play when you're playing, because it's a much slower pace out on the golf course. So what I'd actually recommend them to try, and this might not be the perfect scenario, but I think it could really work for this situation, is when he practices, try and practice very, very kind of spaced out.
Methodically.
Like, yeah. So like try, really difficult to do this. Try and hit like 10 balls in a 30-minute window.
Wow.
I know. Just try it. Just for this certain example. Because I think that would really teach him ways of being able to keep his swing and his mental approach in check when he gets on the golf course and it's slow. Mm. So like things like he can be doing practice swings, he can keep himself distracted. He could be kind of working on little bits of mechanics to some degree, and he could transcend that out into the golf course. But then when you get onto the golf course, then it doesn't quite feel as differently paced, mm. potentially. The other option is to, if he prefers to play faster, is try and get a much, much earlier tee off time.
Yeah.
Like try and get the first tee off time that you can go for, like whether that's a 7 o'clock, or go for one of the much, much later ones and leave a bit of a gap if you can. If you're going out at like 10 o'clock on a Saturday, you're probably going to be slow in it.
Yeah. It is frustrating slow play. It's one of those things that sounds obvious, this. When you I've been playing golf actually more on the golf course, and you can see why it does annoy people. And it's not that you want to absolutely whiz round, but like when you get to a shot on, you might hit your tee shot on a par four, and you've got a shot into the green, and you're waiting for what feels like an eternity. Certainly in a comp, if it's a casual round, just chat, whatever, when you want to kind of stay quite switched on, it is difficult.
I must admit, I've been quite lucky. I don't think I've ever experienced it. Yeah. I'd say the only, certainly in recent years, the only, whether I'm the slow player, but in more recent years, the only time I've experienced it, and this sounds daft, and it might come on to my next story quite nicely, experienced it at mini golf, when it's just like painstakingly slow, yeah. and you've got like six groups every hole, and you've got to watch like the kid knock it around the hole 15 times before yeah. you get it in. To avoid that, this weekend, I went playing mini golf, but we went early, way before the rush, and it was much more pleasurable.
Well, that's the did you take Scotty Cameron's and Pro V1s?
No, I didn't actually. But something happened that at the time I didn't think it offended me, but afterwards it's really grated on me.
Go on.
So we went with another family, okay? So there was me, my wife and three kids, mm-hmm. and another family, couple, they have two kids. Kids at school, whatever, parents really got on. So
is it the fact they didn't bring a laser range finder?
They don't play golf, right, at okay. all. So I was the only golfer.
Did you take a glove with you and put it in your back pocket?
I didn't do anything. I thought I'd play legit. So we got there, and obviously the expectation level is fairly high, okay?
Yeah.
Or certainly I think the expectation level is fairly high.
They probably don't really care how you play, but you
I think other dad was quite competitive.
Okay.
So to the point where like the first hole kind of I did it in like three, like quite whatever, standard.
Okay.
He did it in three, and he was like, at the time, I didn't think it was going to be a big deal. He went, I tied you on that hole. And I thought, oh, here we go. It's going to be one of them, is it? So anyway, long story short, we played, and we got round to the 16th. Okay. And the 16th hole, there's a shortcut. You can go up a hill and down mm-hmm. a hole and through
the tiger line.
Through a chute, and it shoots out to the hole. Okay.
Yep.
So I hit this one shot. I went up the hill, and it just didn't quite get to the hill. And annoyingly, scooted yeah. back down, for God's sake. So I went the safe route and ended up with a three or whatever. Mate of mine, never played golf before, never really done money golf before.
I know, okay? It's coming here.
Goes the tiger route, okay? Up the hill, perfect pace. Kind of swivels around the hole like a whirlwind and drops in.
Boxed it.
This is the chute.
You got the chute, yeah.
The chute comes down, out, whoosh. Straight out, okay? Now, still no guarantee it's going to go in.
Yeah,
I've seen many times.
Cetera, yeah.
Comes out, it hits like the side of the hole and does like a full 360, drops in for a hole in one. Okay, thinking, oh, crap. He's beat me on that hole, like comfortably. So at the time I thought, it's not going to be a big deal.
Doesn't matter.
It was a big deal.
Of course.
It was a big deal. To him more than it yeah. was to me, but it grated on me. So next hole, really tough, like ridiculously hard hole.
Stroke your next one on the par three course. On the mini golf course.
It's the one with the spine going down. It's the 17th of the one at Trafford with like the dinosaur spine.
Yes. Did he wonder what you were doing when you had to do an aim point?
So I'm there. And so how we did it, the five kids played in the group in front of us and the four adults played in the group behind. Okay. So the five kids were kind of messing about and whatever, jumping onto the next hole and whatever. But my eldest daughter kind of was hanging around our group a little bit. So,
Daddy, why is that man winning?
Daddy, I thought you were good at golf. why are you not winning this? So anyway, the one with the spine, I hit right into the chute, like so hard to yep. do that, right? Right into the spine, okay? So it's coming down the tunnel, right? So I hit it was like a silver ball, okay?
Yep.
Quite a nice silver ball. Straight in the tunnel, silver ball shoots down the spine, okay? Gets to the end, I'm thinking, this is guaranteed in. Like, this one, I know it's going to yep. go in, right? At the end, out pops a gold ball.
Ooh, so it's been a bit of a clog up there.
A gold ball goes straight in the hole.
Oh, my days.
My daughter is laughing her head off, Because what she'd done, not knowing, she'd put her gold ball at the end of the tunnel, hoping that another ball would hit her ball and it go in.
Did you discipline her?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. You will not come to mini golf again if you behave like that.
How dare you embarrass me?
You've embarrassed me, yourself, your mother.
So I couldn't believe it. So she was laughing her head off. So like, I'm in this situation now where I kind of have to laugh.
Yeah, yeah. But you
don't want to laugh. I want to cry. I'm like,
good one.
Nice. So like, so I went and got the ball, my silver ball. Yeah. So I was like, I'll just have one more go.
Cheating.
Just in case. Like, thinking that.
That's actually a penalty for hitting somebody else's ball.
Should have gone
it?
In the hole, right?
It'd be a penalty, really.
So then I hit up the chute. I'm like, oh, that's fine. I can't believe I've done it twice. I can't believe I've done it twice.
Coming back down the chute, innit?
Came out the chute with like a little, like, boop, like, no energy. So, anyway.
It really hit you hard, didn't it, that?
It really hurt. So then we planned then to go on the proper driving range.
Yeah, now, there we go. Now, here we go.
But we decided to go to the arcade instead.
You're getting too competitive.
This is ridiculous in the arcade. Just a very quick story. So me and the other couple, we spent on all the rides and all. It's ridiculous. Arcades are such a rip-off. Those bloody grabby things where you try and grab a toy.
I hate all
but
that.
You just think you're going to win. So annoying.
How much did you spend?
£30 each couple. God. And they walked out with literally a packet of sweets.
Yeah, pathetic. Yeah.
Anyway.
I've got a story you know about, and again, it's a bit of a controversial one. So, mate, I'll go with your lead if you want to name the golf club or not on this. The golfer stripped of a competition for not attending presentation.
Is this the one that my mum texted me about?
Yes. you want to mention the club or not?
I think we should, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, Stockport Golf Club, which is a golf course very, very close to us. We've actually filmed the Brick 75 there before, a couple of videos, yeah. I've played the... What a golf course.
It's unbelievable. One of my favourites.
For some reason, you know when you go to a golf course and you just get a vibe for it? We've played there a couple... Well, I played with you... Well, start again. We filmed there and I've played on my own one time when I went that day thinking of ideas, do you remember?
Of course, yeah. I did.
Come back with some great ideas. And it's just a golf course that's got... Yeah, the course is stunning. So Stockport Golf Club, big shout out to the actual course.
It's got tradition, which might be a thing that slightly holding it back, but it doesn't feel snooty.
Yeah.
Like, it's not one of those ones where if I had my phone out, I wouldn't feel bad. And if I wore a hoodie, I wouldn't feel too bad. Gary, the pro, who actually has left recently, he's moved on to another golf course. He's unbelievable. Pro shop was great. Always really well stocked. Just a really, 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 really nice vibe.
However, I think there might be several Twitter accounts for the golf club. But anyway, they had a Twitter account, and had is the key word here. There was SGC, so Stockport Golf Club, Gents Comps. That was the at username. And the tweet has since been deleted, as has the actual account, which is quite a big move.
Wow.
But basically, and I can't actually find the actual tweet anywhere now, but that's an article on Golf Monthly about it. That's kind of how viral, I'll use that term loosely, but viral in the golf world it went. Where essentially, there was a Saturday competition, and it was a better ball, I think. And I believe 38 points won, 37 points came second, and then 36 points came third.
Okay.
But the team that got 38 and the team that got 37 didn't attend the presentation. So Stockport Golf Club decided to give it to the third place as first, if that makes sense. So
they disqualified first and second
essentially,
place.
Essentially, yeah.
Because they didn't turn up for the presentation.
Now, I think the whole purpose of this tweet, because that's something you might do internally at the golf club and whatever, the whole purpose of this tweet was to kind of, they put, it just shows how important it is to attend presentations. Now, again, the beauty of opinion, there might be a lot of people listening to this or watching this who completely agree with that and think, well, yeah, you should be at the presentation. However, it went down very, very poorly on Twitter with a lot of people. Now, again, I know Twitter is a hive of opinion, several people were saying that actually, you know, a lot of people have families. They might want to play golf, which is 4 or 5 hours. Certainly, we're getting there early for a comp day and stuff. They have to go home after that. They can't wait around for a presentation. Other people said it's a tough school, but they know the rules and traditions when they join. So it's not so much that the people, they might have moaned. It wasn't so much that the people who should have finished first and second were moaning. It was more the golf club kind of showing off their tradition that actually went down very, very poorly.
They were trying to flex on the fact that they disqualified first and second, really, weren't they?
Yeah, and somebody else tweeted that I could partially understand this if it was a major, club championships or whatever, potentially. But for a four-ball, better ball, Stableford, it kind of seems a little bit over the top. And it seems, you know, it helps to fuel this kind of negative image that golf is elitist and old-fashioned.
Yeah.
And that's why people don't want to play comps and join clubs. So it's a tough one, isn't it?
It's a really, really strange one, because part of a golf club is the community aspect.
Yes.
And part of winning competitions and being, you know, if you win a major and your name's on the board and you get presented a trophy, all that is kind of, it comes part and parcel of winning something, you'd like to think. And in an ideal, perfect world, you'd have 100 competitors playing in the golf day, and straight after, or whatever after that evening, you'd have 100 people at the presentation. The winner would win, first, second, second, nice speech, nice photos, off you go. Yeah. That's not the real world.
It can't, because the guy at 7 o'clock, like the first tee 7, the last tee is 12, and the 12 guy finishes at 4, half past 4. At 5. The 7 o'clock guy, unless he comes back, he's not going to stay all that
time. The only way you could possibly do it is shotgun starts. Yeah. But even then it's very difficult. But if it was a shotgun start when everyone teed off at 9 o'clock and everyone was finished at 1 and you're in the bar anyway and whatever, quick presentation is Guy Charnock here, you've won longest drive again, yeah. Shock, shock. There you go, there's your longest drive award. Like, it kind of makes sense. I think what they've done there, though, is, like you said, they've tried to flex it, and they've tried to kind of stamp their authority down by saying, you know, if you're not going to attend, you're not going to win your prize. But there has to be justification here. There has to be some level of understanding. There has to be some level of coming up into the modern world where if you're a modern family man, or you don't have to be a family man, just a modern man modern person in general. Yeah. You've got a lot of things going on. And golf sometimes is not every single minute of your Saturday. It's 4 or 5 hours that you can afford to use to play golf and enjoy it, a sport that you love and maybe one you want to get better at. But then the rest of the day is family time or your own actual time that you want to do stuff with.
Again, rightly or wrongly, whatever way your opinion is or people's opinions are, hopefully these kind of incidents should encourage golf clubs to maybe rethink things and hopefully potentially change some traditions that actually aren't that. Or, you know, have more regular presentation evenings. So maybe have one every month or so. Or I'm not saying everybody can still attend, but if anything, they might encourage people to attend on a Thursday night once a month and maybe have a couple of drinks and spend money in the clubhouse or whatever. I don't know. But it's interesting.
I wonder if you'd ever get to a stage where it's almost like an award ceremony, like the Oscars or the Brits and stuff. And it's
the Oscars at Stockport Golf Club.
Yeah. And it's like there might be some fighting again. But like you get one of those ones where it's like, oh, so Jim Smith couldn't make it today, but we're going live to Jim now at his home.
Is his timeshare in Turkey? I made up a one. I hit the ball well. That pie after 9 really helped.
I think that's what they've got to do. I think that would be absolutely brilliant.
He's sat there with us. He's a bit sunburned. His wife's in the background going, what is that? What are you doing? He's got 25 quid in his account.
I love it. Oh, the internet's not very good here. Sorry, guys.
Jim, you're upside down. Turn the camera around. I'm not going to be readers on the can't see your screen. Another question then, last one, maybe before we wrap this up. Oh, quick thing, I've not done this for absolutely ages, but people that listen on Apple and Spotify, if you want to rate us a few stars, ideally 4 or 5 stars, please do. Not had any ratings for a while, which is fine, doesn't offend me, but it's nice if you want to. It's like a tip. So when you go out for a steak and you tip the restaurant, whether you want to or not, and it's like added on, and it's like, oh, not that well, not paying it, but fine, as will, because I don't want to be awkward. Just see this as a little tip.
Okay.
4 or 5 stars.
Or you can actually send us money.
Or send us money on PayPal. The question on Facebook, I had many questions, but a lot of them kind of covered throughout the conversation with like the Masters, who want to win, who we think will win, etc., etc. This one's an interesting question. It's from David. He said, why is it that golf clubs are offering memberships cheaper to younger people? Is this ageism? Now, I've got two schools of thought again on this. I'm loving it. There's a lot of debate today, so I feel like there's a lot of people to get the teeth stuck into and have either a moan or a whinge or a comment or whatever, so feel free.
We've not even gotten to the Dude Perfect video yet.
Oh yeah. Basically, yes, golf clubs do often offer cheaper memberships. So when I've looked around before at memberships, you typically get a junior membership, which is fine, up to 18 years old. It's normally or thankfully very cheap, and that's great. I think most people can get behind that, because juniors that are obviously, it's not them paying, it's the parents. It's a good way to get them into the sport. It's often, hopefully, if the golf course does a good job, can keep them as members potentially for life or for longer term. And they don't always get the same rights as the gents, do they? So they can't play on Saturday in the men's comp often or whatever. So there's certain things they cannot get.
Yeah, which I don't think they should. I think they should get everything. Really. I think what I've seen in the past where some bitter older people have said, yeah, but they get to play six times a week, I've got to work. I'm like, yeah, but it's part of being a kid. You're going to play every day, right?
I suppose, again, I think when I was a junior, we were allowed to play in the men's comps once we got to a 9 handicap or better. And I think the rationale behind that was that you're obviously at a good level, so you're going to hold your own on the golf course. I think, that's up for debate. I think with this, what he's probably alluding to a bit more is that often then at golf clubs you have like a cult membership, maybe 18 to 21. And then even now, a lot of golf clubs, you have like cheaper membership up to even like 35. Now, the reason behind the golf club doing that, I think, is because they want to encourage, again, this younger profile who will hopefully join and stay for longer. Obviously, thankfully, I'm under that age, 35. So if I went to a lot of these golf clubs, I would benefit from that. So to me, it's obviously a brilliant thing. However, if you're 40, 42, and you join a golf club and you're paying $2,000 a year and your mate who's 34 from work's paying £1,200 and they get everything the same, I could kind of understand why that might feel a bit annoying, but it's the golf club are doing it. It's a funny one, isn't it?
The golf club very simply has to do a spreadsheet with all their members and how old all their members are. Mm. And it's very easy to categorise and go, right, this is the situation. From 40-year-old and plus, we've got more members than we'll ever need, really. Right now, we have anyway. From 40 to the grand old age of 100, we've got 75% of our membership right now. So under 40, we have to target.
Yeah.
So we can't offer them more. You can't actually offer any more services.
An extra 20 holes.
Yeah. All you can do is offer a better rate
to
encourage the other 25%, and I'm making these numbers up really off the top of my head, but I'm probably not far off. For the rest of the golfing community, we have to bring those people in, and we have to do it at a price that is going to suit and is going to encourage them.
Yeah.
And also the other thing, it's governed by other golf clubs. You only have to get one golf club in your area to do it.
Yeah.
And everyone has to do it because you all have to kind of work. It's a bit like house prices. House prices are very much governed on your neighbours and stuff. How much it's going to sell for. So, I think it's a very, very important and sensible decisions golf clubs make. And if golf clubs don't have to do it, well, then that's fine. They must be doing very well.
It's like my gym, for example, it's just one amount, I think, no matter what. There might be something for like pensioners potentially, I don't even know.
Well, that's where it'd flip the other way.
It'd go the opposite way.
That's where over 55 or over 60, you'd get it for cheaper.
Yeah, I can kind of get his point, and I do kind of understand that if you're joining a golf when you fall outside of a category, you might get a bit annoyed about it. But ultimately, it's quite simple why they do it, isn't it?
If you're paying the top right, it means you're in the majority, really.
Yeah.
It means you've got a lot of people at that age range being a member of the golf club.
Yeah.
I want to really talk about this. So over the weekend, Dude Perfect.
Yes. Who are Dude Perfect?
So it's five American blokes who have a YouTube channel, one of the biggest YouTube channels in the world, 53.8 million subscribers.
Bad.
So doing all right. We're catching them up. So five of them. I've actually, my biggest ever video on the channel is where I played golf with two of them when they're over here in the UK. They're the third biggest sports channel in the world. They do kind of trick shot videos. They do super huge viral videos. And a lot of them are really into golf.
Yeah.
They're big fans of golf. Now they do a video that's called All Sports Battle, where they'll have a golf bag, all five players will have a golf bag, but it's everything but golf clubs in the bag. So there's tennis rackets, baseball bats, hockey sticks, what's called like these foxtail things that they throw. There's like frisbees, there's volleyballs, there's footballs. It's a fantastic concept. And they've been doing it for about 4 or 5 years where they'll go and play a golf hole. And as soon as you've used that one particular item, let's say it's a tennis racket, you can't use it again on that hole. Okay. Well, over the weekend, and I saw it teased a couple of weeks ago, they filmed a new one and it came out this week. And this week is Masters Week.
Mm.
And they've managed to do an all sports battle with one of the best players in the world, Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes.
And the five Dude Perfect creators, as such, players, have managed to do it on the three most famous golf holes in the whole of the world. The 11th, the 12th, and the 13th at Augusta National Golf Club.
That is big.
It's ridiculous.
Huge.
And I think it's so big because, as we know, and like I say, even speaking to Sir Nick a couple of weeks ago, how strict and on it Augusta are about their exclusivity and about their content creation. Like, bar the Masters, I reckon they have softened over the last few years, though, because of things like the amateur event that happened last week, the amateur girls, the drive, chip and putt, which has happened this weekend. That was class, by the way.
I've not seen any of that yet. Honestly, I will watch it, though.
It's ridiculous how good
I've watched
it
before. It is class.
And now kind of things like this. They are obviously trying, slowly but surely, peeling back this kind of layer of shield that they've had so fixed for many, many years. The video's gone absolutely viral. It was number one trending on YouTube in the first 6 hours. I think it's had nearly 4 million views as we speak right now. It's only been out 2 days. Been out a day. Or 2 days.
2 days.
I absolutely loved it. I absolutely loved every bit of it. It showed Augusta in a very different way. There was a moment where I think it was Bryson DeChambeau was lying down on the 13th green with a pool cue.
What was that ball? It wasn't a pool. No, it was like a croquet ball, was it? Something.
So trying to pot the ball, not a golf ball, a bigger ball, with a pool cue on the green at Augusta.
It's crazy.
I mean, I just loved every bit of it. However, and I thought, the TV's gone off, but don't worry. I thought, for me, that 99.9% of the other people would love it too.
Yes.
It's not quite been that, has it?
When you look at the comments actually on the video, from what I can see, are typically very, very positive, as you would imagine they are, because a lot of the people that comment are followers or fans or subscribers, whatever. On social media, though, there was a bit more, certainly on Bryson's, because Bryson put a picture on his Instagram, the guys that did Perfect did. On Bryson's in particular, there was a bit more negativity, possibly from the more kind of authentic golfers. I don't massively get the people not liking it. I think, the reason people don't like it is because this is like almost the holy grail of golf, don't they? And this almost borderline disrespects it, which I don't think it does. I think my kind of take on it is that the Masters wants to grow their social presence, don't they? They want to grow their own YouTube channel, which does very, very well around the Masters week, as you can imagine. It gets millions and millions of views. They have all the rights to all the footage. So if Tiger makes a hole in one, it's going on their channel. It'll get loads of views. So at the end of the video, Dude Perfect, shouted out the Masters channel and Bryson's channel. So they both got a huge kick out of it, you'd imagine. I think it's good, though, that I think one thing you sometimes can get almost wrong is that you think that because it's quite a traditional tournament, a lot of the people that you see there are middle-aged white men, that is all their team behind the scenes, and it will not be. Not they will have such a diverse workforce of younger people from different backgrounds who get what's going on. Same as the RNA. You might think incorrectly that the RNA is full of old middle-aged blokes. We know a lot of the staff there isn't that at all. It's a lot of forward-thinking, very kind of progressive people who are clued up and they get well-paid because of the back, and they should do. So it's great to see things like the Masters and Augusta National embracing how to hit new audiences. And I think if you wanted to hit an audience that are into sports, it's definitely a way of doing it.
Like I say, it'll be interesting to see if it makes any actual impact on how many people watch golf over the weekend, but it's not done it any harm.
Not done any harm.
That's the big thing. It's not done it any harm at all. And I thought it was amazing. And from a content creator, I got a lot of people saying, oh, but you're jealous about it. I'm like, not even a tiny bit.
Well, it's not.
If anything, it's exciting because it's showing that one of the biggest golf tournaments in the world and one of the best venues in the world are now starting to open their arms, open the gates to social content.
The only...
that's crazy.
The only question I would have around it, and this has been super looking at it in a stupidly close, but a lot of the comments were, this is a great way to grow the game, which it may or may not. I don't know how you'd measure that. The only thing that sometimes slightly not upsets me is that we have to grow the game of golf by not actually playing golf. Mm. Like, they weren't players... kind of loosely linked to golf by getting an object to a hole, but then it thinks, is golf that boring that we can't show off to younger people by them just playing golf? It has to be a sport take on it. You with me?
Yeah. Whether they even had conversations about, do we actually make it more golf authentic or not? But that's probably a different kind of chat. But it's a bit like, I think a lot of people, and I would have 100% been like this, thinking places like St. Andrews would have been very, very like closed gates. You know, you're not doing anything. Yeah. We got permission to go and film around there, play in reverse with Minwoo Lee playing with Hickory Clubs on a Sunday.
I think the difference is now, though, is that there's something in it for them, isn't there, ultimately? Because, like, the Masters, like I said, I don't know, we might be able to pull it up, actually, but they will have gained off the back of that, definitely subscribers. Like, 100% they will have done.
Now, the only thing is, I think they've got those hidden. And I probably need you to get... I've checked my emails a lot.
Yeah.
And I've gone back for, like, the last 6 months. I don't feel like I've seen an email from the Masters asking me to do a video there.
It might be? Because...
Do you reckon it's gone to junk?
No, it was because when you initially said at the start of this bit how many subscribers Dude Perfect had, you said, I think, 53 point something.
Ah, yeah.
No, you're actually 4 million off.
Oh.
They've got 57. So the amount that you were wrong by is double what we even have. So that just went to scale how big their channel actually is.
They've just got more subscribers than we have on our channel. In this chat that we just added.
They've actually, you forgot about 4 million of their subscribers. You've forgot the exit. We've only got two. You've only got two. Often to do with you. You've got 2 million. Ha.
But either way, Masters, if you need a little break, 75 round there or anything else, if you want me to come and rate the bunkers.
If you want a video that'll be seen at least 10 times less than the Dude Perfect one, we'll do it.
At least 10 times less. Maybe 100 times less than the Dude Perfect one.
They've got 4.5 million after what shows us one day. If we had 450,000 in that time, we'd be very happy.
But we'll be cheaper.
We would be cheaper.
Than Dude Perfect.
I'm going to do a podcast maybe there and get 50,000 views,
so
maybe.
Masters, if you listen. Yeah, we'll do a podcast as well. If you want to email. With
USPGA, if you want any content doing, what are you guys?
I'm just thinking Masters. Masters, if you want to email podcast@rickshields.com, we'll find out. Either way.
Yeah.
Something@rickshields.com.
We will pay you.
Yes, actually, we'll pay you to come and do it, please. Thank you. Right, anyway, enjoy the Masters, everyone, this week. I think it's going to be epic. I can't wait to see if Tiger's playing and all the other nice stuff that comes with the Masters.
Very good, yeah. I'm going to have to buy some FootJoy shoes now.
I know. Peace out, everyone.
Later.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.